you so you can do your work in our journey of Christ and learning. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we will read verse 3 through 4. Today, the title of my sermon is Be a Revolutionary. Here in 2 Corinthians, it says this. This is what's written. Even if our gospel is veiled or hid, it is hid or veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. God has good news for all of creation. That's kind of what this was talking about. There's something that, and what we're experiencing in our time is a reawakening of that good news, becoming aware of it again, because it was like Marcia talked about earlier, it was lost for a time. And that's this, you can be successful if you listen to God. Amen. He's also telling us you don't have to be a failure. Those who don't follow God's ways and how they think, how they live out their lives are lost. And what we mean by lost is that they just can't see how to be successful. They can't grab a hold of that truth. They can't grab a hold of what it takes to get where they'd like to be. Everybody, no matter where they believe in and focus on God or not, nobody wants to be a failure on purpose. See, we're attempting to be successful, but all these different ways, all the ways other than God's will eventually lead you to failure. Now, you can't even do this as a Christian, people. You can't do a mix and match. It's not going to work. This is not, we're not, God's ways are not Burger King, McDonald's, and Taco Bell, and Arby's. God's way of doing things is not a menu that you can mix and match. It just is not going to work like that. And here it's saying that God's ways are hidden, and what that's really saying is that those that are lost, they're lost because they have lost the ability to be successful, fulfilled, because they're distracted, they're confused, and their perspective of life is so distorted they can't see reality. And that's all come about because the God of this world, he's blinded them. We've all been there. We all were among them. We all have been blinded at one time. And the reality is this, is that some leaders will try and blind those that follow them, so they'll be dependent on them, that they can maintain influence over them. And from the founding of our church here, all the way back to 1981, you can go through all the different files that we have in our library, and you will hear this on a regular basis, that Mike has always encouraged you and I to take some personal responsibility to read the Bible, to study the Bible, to ask questions about God's word, and not to take everything you hear from this pulpit as absolute, but to check it for yourself, see if it's true. And we carry on that legacy to this day. We encourage you. Now, we do encourage you to listen to leadership because the Bible tells you to listen to the leadership of the body of Christ that you have feel like God, that you've attached yourself to. You know, unless the leadership is telling you to break the scriptures in some way. But if they're not telling you to break the scriptures, they ask you to do such and such. You should do that. Support the structure. We're not telling you, you know, that, but we're just telling you, as you do it with your eyes open. Amen. Be aware. But the God of this world, he will lead you to failure. That word, world, in this particular scripture, it means age, an era. And I parallel that era that Paul was talking about to ours today, and that's people then, and we do now. There's a lot of people living and thinking in ways that do not line up with the way God says, hey, this is the best way to live. In John 14:30, Jesus says this, I will no longer talk much with you, for the prince of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. Basically, there's nothing about him that is anything to do with me. What he's saying there, I thought, well, that's interesting. He called Satan the prince. Now, when you say prince, what do you think of? Well, you think of somebody attractive. You think of someone, they have admirable things about them. You might admire them. They talk in a way that we would say very well educated. They sound logical. And I think he does. I think Satan presents his ideas and his way of thinking. He tries to present it in a way that is attractive to you. You think that makes sense. That's logical. And he tries to make it as easy as possible. Because we're all a bunch of lazy human beings. We don't want to do things that are hard. And many people, Jesus says, chooses to follow his way. Now, they don't consciously say, hey, I'm going to follow Satan. It's just they do it. They make that decision by the way they live out their lives. All of the social systems in our world is designed by him. Some examples. God gave us food, right? And then he said, I'm going to give him. He didn't say it necessarily like this, but this is what he did. How many people, you know, don't raise your hands, but I like dessert. Do you like dessert? Well, God created desserts called apple, oranges, fruit. I do like apples and oranges and fruit. But what happens when we became, when we got so self-centered, we decided we want to be like God, as in we want to figure out our own way. Well, apples and oranges in their sweetness cannot compare to Snickers. Or I used to like Milky Way. Or M&Ms. If we made something with more, God, we did. We got this, God. We decided to add about 25 more grams of sugar per bite. And then relationships. God created relationships. We practice relationships based on how we feel rather than what's best for the other person. Amen. That's how we do all our relationships, sadly. And we are careless. God gave us a powerful mind. And science is discovering more and more and more things about our mind and how it's just, they're so amazed by it. And what do we do with it? Do we do something magnificent? And, you know, maybe every now and then we have somebody who tries. But no, what do? We fill it with a whole bunch. We're careless. We fill it with a whole bunch of stinking thinking. Amen. And then we say things like, I don't know why I did that. I don't know why I said that. I don't know why I thought that. Well, it's because that's all you got. And we instead of filling our mind up to be magnificent, great, and imagine great things, do great things successfully, we fill up full a whole bunch of dumbness. And then that's what we get out. So today I want to talk to you about this. People who choose Satan ways, what happens to them? I want to talk to you about Christians. We need to realize that our fight is not it is of a spiritual nature, and how to be a revolutionary. So let's start off. Let's do that. Number one, turn your Bibles to Luke 16 and 8. And as you're doing that, people who choose to follow Satan ways is what we're going to dive into. Here it says, so the master commended the unjust steward because he had dwelt shrewdly. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of the light. He's talking about Christians and non-Christians. Today, this scripture is parallel to us today. It seems like when people are, you know, it seems like sometimes when you're Christians, we don't seem to be as quick and sharp as people who are non-Christians and how they live. But see, Satan, what he has done is he has created an illusion. He doesn't mind the obvious failures in life to be pointed out, because that's distracting. We think we live in a respectful way because we don't go out and drink till we pass out. Or you haven't had a divorce. Or maybe you have got, you have good, you've used your money well. from the world's perspective. And so you have a lot of wealth. Maybe you got lucky, your parents raised you right, and you learned to be healthy. All these different things that we will take and look at our lives and think, wow, you know what? I'm okay because I'm not doing all these terrible things that we think is considered to be obvious sin. But in my opinion, I think Satan dwells in the courthouses, in the schools, in the city councils, and in our churches. And we're not aware of it. Hey, why do you think there's so much failure and problems and suffering even in the churches and everywhere we go? In our society, wealthy people commit suicide. Wealthy people get divorces. Wealthy people get on drugs. Wealthy people have problems just as much as the person living under the bridge. How much money you have or don't have isn't changing any of that. In Malachi chapter 2 and verse 7 through 8, for the lips of a priest. Now, I'm pointing this out because we're supposed to be what? Royal priesthood, male and female. So this scripture applies to us. It says, for the lips of the priest should keep knowledge. That's some knowledge of God. And the people should seek the law of his mouth, seek the knowledge he has. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But you have departed from that way. You have caused many to stumble at the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord. What this is talking about is, hey, we're supposed to be a spiritual Israelite. Paul talks about that. We're supposed to be a royal priesthood. But the way we live our life leads people, it doesn't lead people to God. It leads people sometimes to a mixed, well, I joked around earlier, we lead them to a mixed way of doing things. So no wonder there's lots of failure and problems all over the place. Christians, we are not supposed to be children of this age that we live in. We're supposed to be children of the kingdom. In John 15:19 says, if you were of the world would love you. I'm paraphrasing that part. Yet because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of that world, therefore the world will hate you. We need to get, I want you to get this through your head. We all should. You're not supposed to follow the systems of this age or of this world. And the way we think, the way we live, the way we respond. Romans 12:1 says, do not be conformed to this world. And the fact it tells you do not means you have a choice. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. I don't believe there's three wills of God. It's they're all those adjectives about his will is one and the same. The word conformed here is talking about practicing. The word renew is talking, basically, I'm breaking this down, is use what you have. What Paul was saying here is be dynamically different and stop consciously practicing the systems of the world. And he says to practice what you have learned from the world. What do I mean by that? Well, how many times have we heard the Bible tell us to confront the thoughts in our minds? Do you confront the thoughts in your minds? Do you think, okay, was that thought of God? What does the world do about what it thinks about? It just puts it on cruise. The world does not take in consideration very few times what it's thinking about it, what it's doing, what's happening, what is it feeding itself with? The Bible says don't consciously do that, but to be aggressive to not do that. We get conformed to the world by just letting things float upstairs in their minds. We will have attitudes, and you know, when you have a bad attitude, you know that's not of God. It doesn't take, you feeling grumpy? Grumpiness is not of God, is it? You don't need me to tell you that, but why do we allow it to persist throughout the day? We're conforming ourselves to the world when we do that. Or if you have a thought that's not right, don't let it stay. Don't let it float through your head. Examine that thought. Wait a minute. I don't think that's of God. I rebuke that thought, blah, blah, blah. Whatever you got to do. Moving on. Christians, we should fight. But we need to keep in mind Your weapons are supposed to be spiritual, not carnal. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, it says this, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God in pulling down strongholds." We use carnal weapons. I'll give you an example. You're feeling grumpy. What do? Do you stop and say, okay, wait a minute. God, I'm feeling this way today. I'm feeling a little grumpy. Lord, help me with my attitude. Nope. We get on to people around. Hey, quit making so much noise. You drive me nuts. That's a carnal weapon trying to get peace instead of asking God to teach you how to have peace while you're grumpy. No wonder we got problems in our relationships. No wonder we don't like the person in the mirror. We look in the mirror and we will think of all the ways that we fall short. Well, I'm getting old. Oh, I got some extra wrinkles. Or I'm looking fluffy today. Or whatever. What does the Bible say? To love yourself, so for what? So you can love other people. When you look in that mirror, are you thinking about, wait a minute, I need to see myself more positively because today I'm going to meet how I treat myself is how I will treat everybody I work with. How I treat look at myself this morning is how I'm going to treat my family, my friends, so forth. Do you think about that? Pull out the right weapon. The world needs a revolution against all of the failure systems that plague us. Our society is more technologically advanced than any society humanity has had before us. Okay? But our mind is equally, if not more so, corrupt than when the Roman era was here. We thought, you know, Romans, we think of them being extremely barbaric, and from our perspective, you know, seemed like they did all kinds of debauchery type. Look that up in dictionary and you'll see what that means. They debauchery all over the place. Man, we do debauchery all over the place. Except now we'll do a TikTok video of it. So everybody in the whole world can see it. Cracks me up. Everybody's worried about being private. What are you talking about? You put everything on TikTok. And then we get upset because somebody, well, they're taking care of my privacy. I said, no, we don't. We just watch your TikTok. But what we've done is we've developed really seemingly good ways to dress up this self part of us that was created by our environment and Satan and failure. And we try to make it look nice and respectable when it's not. The system of this world is faulty. So just stop and think about it a little bit this morning. Those who work the least get paid the most. Think about it. The person who builds a plane can't afford to ride on it or use it. But the guy who can't build the plane, don't know how to fly it, but he's really good at spending your money, aka banker, can use that plane anytime he wants or her. One of my greater pet peeves in this flawed system is that a loyal and a really good work ethic employee will make less than the new college person who they just hired. They don't even know if they're even going to be loyal to the company. Don't even know if that person has got any kind of good work ethics, and they'll pay him 2 times more or her. They don't reward the loyalty to the employees who have been there for a while. What does the Bible say about that? 1 Timothy 5:18. This is what is written. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads on the grain, and the laborer is worthy of their wages. What this is saying here is pay a person what they're worth and not what you can get away with. Our society is built to pay you what the company can get away with, not built on what you deserve or I should say what you're worth. What else are faulty systems? Those who are more critical to our society gets less paid than those who are not. A teacher who has a tremendous impact outside of a parent on the minds of children will get paid less than a guy right now it's mostly guys, who's really good at throwing a pig's fake skin across the big old 100-yard thing. Football players, you might get mad at me for this, but you shouldn't get paid more than a teacher. That tells you that our values in this country are so far off, it's just sickening. Police officers who serve, protect, and try to keep the peace, and they get into really dangerous situations, they get paid less than the criminals they arrest or the cartels. I mean, I'm not going to mention this, but I found out what our police officer here in Hatchet gets paid. I thought that's just shameful. When you walk up to pull someone over, walk up to them, you might get shot. We don't pay them very good. I'm going to get in trouble for that eventually. A farmer who feeds our nation, it's important that they grow them crops right? We'll get paid more than a musician or a singer. I'm sorry. They get paid less. I meant to say, I said backwards. Farmers corrected me real fast on that one. I'm sorry. I don't get this. I've never been okay with this. So we can do without singers and musicians. It might not be an exciting world, but you take away my food, we're all going to die. A movie star gets paid multi-millions for pretending to be somebody else. But a social worker who is trying to change a life so they can be different would be lucky if they get paid $25,000 or $30,000 a year. Our systems in this world is wrong and upside down. Our systems in this world is corrupt. It needs to change because they're not working. And above all of this that I just mentioned to you, I think the worst of all is all of our systems in our society are designed to take advantage of the innocent and cause them to suffer. It is. Sadly, most terribly sadly. So everything needs to change. For that to happen, we got to have a spirit of being a revolutionary. Things can't stay the same. They've got to change. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and he had in there a sound mind. So with that this morning, I'm going to share with you a few things to help us to start on the path of being revolutionary. We need to do this from the inside out because God already tried to do it with a country and that didn't work out. So then Jesus came here and he decided to build the kingdom on the inside and then it'll come out on the outside, okay? You need to be willing to be uncomfortable. Or I should say, be willing to take a risk, to be uncomfortable. You need to be willing to sacrifice whatever you must to learn. That's what I'm talking about, for you personally to learn. Stop measuring yourself with other people because I have learned what I need to go through might require more sacrifice, it might require less sacrifice to learn so I can be different. Now, it doesn't matter what that means. Is it going to be emotional sacrifice, a mental sacrifice, or a physical sacrifice? Hey, God might decide to teach you by you taking away your personal time. What's personal time? I don't know. Xbox? PlayStation? Why is Elijah hiding from me? No. I'm just kidding. Might be taking away Netflix. Whatever you like. Or it might be that you're in situations interacting with people that you just get emotionally exhausted. Hey, people can emotion exhaust me. You know. I like to talk. But there's some people that can talk more than me. And I've had people talk to me to the point where I got nothing left. But what if that person just needed nothing more than a person to be willing to listen? You know, sometimes people, God helps them by self-talk. You listen, they talk. You know, I've had counseling sessions where the person did all the talking. They walked away and said, good talk. And I'm thinking, I didn't say a word. But that was okay because I didn't have anything to say anyway. You know what I mean? It was all God. What else? You must become tired of the system that's around you. You need to look at the world, see it for what it really is. Amos 5 and 15 says, hate evil, love good. Establish justice in the gate. It may be that the Lord of hosts will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. What I'm using that scripture there is talking about, hey, we need to wake up and become aware of what's going on around us. Life is not good. Our systems don't work very well. We need to allow God to guide us through pressure and not avoid it. And then we need to get to a point in our heart that we have become tired of being hurt, causing hurt, all the betrayal and lying and the disease and the pain and the innocent suffering in our world. Hey, I had enough. When you haven't had enough, it's just you're living in a fantasy world. You're living metrics in your head. You know, you're not seeing truth. And the sad thing is most people, if they live long enough, reality comes to their door and knocks. If they live long enough, all the things you pretended didn't exist comes back around to you and comes to your front door and you can't escape it. All that hurt and suffering. You need to be aggressive. Allow yourself to get in touch with what's going on, all this suffering that's going on around us. And you need to have this attitude, hey, it's time to change. No, I don't want no more failure. Amen. And then along those steps, you need to recognize the world system that's within you and do something about it. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourself. Why? What do you examine yourself for? To see if you're in the faith. What's in your faith? What does it mean by in the faith? To see if your attitude, your thoughts, and all the things going on inside your mind, are they lining up to God's way of doing things or not? And this says, test yourselves. That means you can check it out. See. And know. It says you should know yourselves. You should know. And then I thought it was interesting. It puts in there that Jesus is in you unless indeed you're disqualified. What that I would say that like this. Unless you're afraid that you find out you're not Jesus, you don't have a whole lot of Jesus. I think we don't examine ourselves because we might find out, man, I'm lacking a whole lot of Jesus in this area, that area, and we just don't want to know. But I'm talking about here is you need to take a look at your life. You need to take a moment out there and accept and embrace awareness when God brings it to you and yield that area over to God because God is doing all the transformation, but the only thing that stops him is you. Amen. And then I'm talking about me. It's me. Is that we're not yielding in what he's trying to do in our lives. You need to decide to be uncompromising. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 through 27. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get that prize. For us, it's transformation, it's being the best who we can be. Okay, that's for us. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But this is the next part for us Christians. We do it to get a crown that will last. Now, a lot of times, it's talking about crown. What's the crown? Well, it's what's between your two ears. It's to have a sound mind, peace, kindness, gentleness. It's to have a character that can handle anything. That's our crown. It's our character. It's our crown. We're striving to run the course that God has set out for us so we can get it, the prize, to be the best version that we are meant to be. Here it says, therefore, do not run like someone running aimlessly. You ever walked aimlessly? I mean, when I say run aimlessly, he's talking about don't just run half-heartedly. Run that race like your life depends on it, because the reality is it does. Amen. Run it with all you've got. He also thought it was interesting. He says, I don't fight like a boxer beating the air. When I was a kid, I was in boxing. Some of these guys look, you know, they'll be all cut up and they're like, and you thought, man, they beat that shadow dude up pretty good. But when they got in the ring, they got knocked out. He says, no, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself am not disqualified for that prize. He was saying here that he even brings his body, his emotions, his mind, the part of him into subjection to the Spirit of Christ, so that way he won't lose out. Because just because we all teach good things and we're a little bit further ahead than someone else don't mean that's always going to be okay. Can't take that for granted. You got to take it serious yourself. You need to look at this. If self-perspective is alive and well somewhere in your life, you need to crucify it. Because here's why. Here's what you got to watch out for. When you're in a war, your enemy will always want to compromise when it's on the losing side. So your flesh will only be willing to compromise if it's about to die. Think about it. When a country tries to take fights with another country and they're about to conquer that country, what do they do? Okay, we're willing to talk. We'll make some concessions. Well, that's what your flesh will do. Well, if you don't say, I'm sorry, this is a no retreat, no surrender, no, I'm sorry, this is a no prisoner war. We come in, you're going to die. That's how you need to treat your flesh. Don't give it room to survive. Don't put up with thoughts and attitudes and behaviors that are not of God. Be willing, as I close, be willing to believe in the impossible. Matthew 19:26. This is also not just toward yourself, but toward other people. Jesus looked at them and he said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Marginalized people throughout history have done seemingly impossible things, and they turned their world upside down when they did it. We need to have that same attitude. We need to have an attitude that somehow, some way, I will succeed because God's with me. We need to look at each other in this church, and we need to say somehow, some way, I know this person and that person. Hey, we're going to do this. We're going to turn this world upside down. We've already started. We've got people who we got contact with in Malaysia and all these different. Don't take this for, don't allow Satan to minimize this in your mind. People follow us, listen to us, communicate with us from different countries. We have started a little church in the middle of the United States. Truth does matter. It can make a difference in people's lives. But we've got to say, no matter how big our obstacles are that Satan puts in front of us, no matter how smart, big he is, somehow, some way, we're going to succeed. I mean, believe it. Choose to believe it because God is with us. Doesn't he say, if God's with you, who can be against you? But we don't live that. It's got to be more than a mantra. You got to have an attitude that I will win this war against Satan and sin and failure because God is with me. The Creator is with us, people. Whatever you're facing in your life, whether it's emotional, mental, physical, have that no retreat, no surrender, that God is with me. I don't know how. You don't have to see the results right now to believe they can happen. The only thing that can stop God is when we cry around and give up. Then he can't get you to the end. He can't get you to your promised land because you quit. Most people quit on God. Those who didn't become successful and change their world. So I'll leave you with this. Be that dynamic child of God that you were meant to be. Fight your good fight with the right, or I'll just say this. Fight the good fight with spiritual weapons, okay? And then I will hope you take this attitude away with you. I am a revolutionary. Amen. And I'm going to change this world. God bless you. Hope to see you next week at 11 a.m. Good.